You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right, if you brought your Bibles, let's turn to James chapter 4. We're going to be in James chapter 4 today. My name is Haley, and I get to be one of the freshman girls leaders. Shout out to the freshman girls. Love you, ladies. Pastor Claire asked me to share my testimony tonight as it relates to James chapter 4. So we're just going to jump right into it. We're going to go back in time to May 31st, 2019. So at this point in my life, I was 20 years old, and I had made all kinds of plans for my life. I was about to start my senior year of college. I had just received a job promotion. I had my roommates lined up. I was going to live with some of my best friends. I had an internship with another church nearby. I was going to lead a cabin at summer camp. I had this houseboating trip I was going to help lead with another church. And then none of these things happened. As James 4:14 says, I did not know what was going to happen tomorrow. I want to show you guys a photo that I took on May 31st. This was on a run that I took in 2019. I thought it was so beautiful, but I did not know that this would be the last time I would ever be able to run. The next day came, June 1st, 2019. My dad and I had left early that morning to go on a hike in Cabazon, California. You can show that photo of me and my dad hiking. It's a great photo. It was a great day. You can see up in the back corner that like giant waterfall. That was what we were hiking to. That was the goal of the day. So we'd been hiking for a few hours, and there was no trail. Really, those rocks that you see, that's like what we were hiking, essentially. It's called trailblazing when you just make up a trail. You make it up, and you don't. It's not this nice, smooth thing. We're pretty deep into the hike. It's probably a couple hours, and we come across this huge rock, probably the size of this stage, honestly. And in order to continue the hike, to keep going up the mountain, we had to cross over this rock, and there was water flowing down it, and it was flat, and there was algae on it, which is very slippery. So I started going first. I'm holding on to my dad for balance. I start crossing over this rock, and then my foot slipped, and I start sliding down the rock, basically like a slipping slide. My dad's holding on to me, he doesn't let go, so he comes down with me, and now we're both sliding down this rock, and we're catching speed very fast. There was nothing to grab onto, there's no branches, no rocks, nothing like that, and we didn't realize that we were about to fly off the edge of this rock, and it was a 30 to 40 foot drop, and all that was beneath it was rocks. So we fly off the edge of this rock, and I see below me just massive rocks, and I realized I'm probably going to die. This is it. In my life, it didn't flash before my eyes. You know how some people say that, like all their childhood memories go through. It was honestly this very peaceful moment of like just acceptance that this is it. I ran my course. This is how it ends. Then we land. I hit my feet first, then I landed on my bottom, and I was shocked that I was even alive. I was conscious for it. I got the wind knocked out of me, and I was suddenly in the worst pain that I've ever been in my whole life. And so at this point, we land. My dad, he broke an ankle, but he stands up. He goes into dad mode, and he's fully focused on me, saying, Haley, you're okay. You're going to be okay. Like, what's wrong? What's going on? And I just started saying, Dad, it's bad. It's really bad. I don't know what's going on, but it's bad. So I catch my breath finally, and he says, okay, let's like stand up. And I try to stand up, and my legs in front of me just fold in front of me like a pretzel. And I realized I'm paralyzed, and I can't move my legs. So we try to call 911, but we are so deep in the mountains that there's no cell service. So we can't call anyone. There's no way I'm hiking out of this mountain. So my dad takes me from where we were sitting. There was water falling on us, and it was ice cold because it was snow runoff. He takes me over. He carries me with a broken ankle, probably like 20 feet over to this big, flat, dry rock, and positions me to where it's like a bearable amount of pain. And then my dad did the hardest thing he's ever had to do, and he had to leave me there. And if you're a parent in the room, the leaders, you know that the last thing you want to do when your child is in pain and helpless is leave them. But he knew that he had to do it. So my dad prayed for me right then and there, and then he starts hiking out on this broken ankle, on these crazy rocks. And then I was there alone. And so for a while, I was just aware of my physical pain, and all I could feel was just my heart beating and racing really fast, and I just could not relax. So I decided to yell. I yelled a prayer out loud, and it was just four words. I yelled, "God, I need you." And I just said that over and over again. God, I need you. I needed God to keep me alive. I needed God to help my dad from injuring himself further and not being able to get us help, right? I needed God to direct the search and rescue team to find me deep in the mountains. And I needed God to comfort me as I laid there alone, unable to move half of my body. I needed God more than anything in that moment. So I don't know how much time went by. It could have been 2 hours. Honestly, it could have been 5 hours. But then I heard the best sound in the world, a helicopter. And I knew that I was being rescued. I knew I was going to be okay. And this meant that my dad made it out, so he was okay. And it's only going to go uphill from here. So I was airlifted out with the helicopter. I was rushed to the ICU, which is the intensive care unit. It's honestly the worst of the worst. You don't want to end up there. I have a couple of photos from the hospital if you want to flip through those three. So what had happened is I experienced a compression fracture in my spine. So when I landed, my spine compressed like an accordion. One vertebrae took the pressure, and it squished down. And then it damaged my spinal cord, which caused me to be paralyzed from the waist down. You can show the x-ray photo next. You guys will be able to see that vertebrae in the middle. Supposed to look as nice and big and square as the bottom two, but it just got crushed. And that's what my back looks like now. You can call me Iron Woman. It's kind of a flex. So when this happened, I started asking questions like, will I ever be able to walk again? Will I be in a wheelchair for the rest of my life? Will I even be able to finish school? Will I even be able to work? Will I ever live independently? Everything was unknown. James 4:14 says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow." James 4:15 says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Now, I had no idea what my life would look like. And obviously, you guys know that I'm walking again, right? I'm standing up here. I'm not in a wheelchair anymore, which is crazy. And that's a whole nother story I could explain. So when James says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow, that includes good things, it includes bad things, it includes crazy things like learning how to walk again. And the truth is, my dad and I, we should have died the day of our accident. But God gave both of us a second chance at life. And this day, I realized truly how short life is. So I started asking myself, I remember in the hospital, if I died, would I have been happy with the way I was living? Do I have any regrets? Was there anything I wish I did, but I was too scared to do? If I had died, would I have gone to heaven or hell? Your first fill-in is life is short, eternity is forever. Life is short, eternity is forever. I'm going to show you guys one of my favorite analogies. I'm stealing this from, Francis Chan. Francis Chan is a gifted speaker and pastor. So this is a rope. Imagine this rope is a timeline of your existence, right? This red part right here, you guys all see this red piece? This is your time on Earth. Right here is where you're born, and right here is when you die. This is your time on Earth. And this part, this white part, this is where you will exist for somewhere, for eternity somewhere, either in heaven or in hell. Now here's the truth. Some of you, including myself, all we think about is this red part right here. You think, man, I can't wait to get to this point. Once I'm this age, my life's really gonna start, right? Once I get here, I'm finally gonna be happy. Once I get that dream job, once I get into that school I really wanna get into, you know, maybe once I get married, that's your goal, then my life's really gonna start. And then I'm gonna save all this money so I can enjoy this peace right here and just relax. That sounds kind of crazy, right? When you put it that way? Because you're not even thinking about all of this. And the Bible tells us that what we do during this part right here will determine what happens for millions and millions and millions of years. I want to ask you a very serious question, HSM. Are you confident that you know where you're going when you die? Are you living your life for yourself or for God? If so, how? When you die and face God, he will say either one of two things: well done, good and faithful servant. Or he's gonna say, who are you? I never knew you. You didn't want a relationship with me. That's your next fill-in. When you die and face God, he will either say, well done, or I never knew you. Both of these phrases are taken from the book of Matthew. If you guys want to look at that later, you can. And I don't know if this is theologically sound, if that's exactly what's going to play out when you die and face God, but there's hints and clues in the Bible that emphasize that this is a possibility, right? And here's the truth, students. God doesn't force a relationship with you. If someone doesn't want a relationship with God on earth, God's not going to force them to spend eternity with him. People who go to heaven choose heaven. And people who choose to turn their back on God will not be with God when they die. If someone doesn't want to be with God now, God says, okay, if that's what you want, God will give you what you ask for. Hell is the absence of God. Heaven is the full presence of God. I'm going to repeat that again if you want to write it down. Hell is the absence of God. Heaven is the full presence of God. God is heartbroken every time someone turns their back on him, but he's not going to force someone who wants nothing to do with him to spend eternity with him. Your life during this red part of your lifespan determines how you're going to exist for all of this part. Now, when I started living my life focused on this rather than this, my values changed. My worries changed. I started worrying less about what people thought of me. I worried more about what God thought of me. And I started worrying less about, man, how much money am I gonna make during this part? You know, what's my life gonna look like? What job am I gonna have? What clothes am I gonna wear? What TV show am I gonna, you know, watch? I started worrying less about that stuff and focusing on, man, who am I gonna take with me here? This life that we have been given is a gift from God. And I was given a second chance at life. And I'm not going to waste that, and I don't want you to do that either. Have you turned your back on God? Are you hiding something from God? Are you living for God on Sundays and Wednesday nights alone, or are you living for him 7 days a week? To the Christians in the room, if I visited your school and I asked your classmates, your teammates, maybe your teachers, hey, is Haley a Christian? What would they say? I don't know, she said she was, but her actions say different. Or would they say, yes, he is a light in the classroom. Yes, she reaches out to the loners at school. I can tell she's a Christian by her actions. She prays before our game with the whole team. She lives her life for Jesus publicly. He is humble. He's not afraid to publicly declare his faith. And if you're in this room and you call yourself a Christian, I want to challenge you this week to be bold in your faith. I want you to start living for eternity and focus less on this very short portion of your life. I want you to ask one of your teachers at school, is there any way I can be praying for you this week? And then I want you to pray for them right then and there. You can pick your favorite teacher, your least favorite teacher, doesn't matter. Totally up to you. Now, I know some of my freshman girls have actually shared that they have a teacher that outwardly hates Christianity. And so maybe you're like that, and you're sitting here saying, thinking, Haley, if I do this, my teacher is going to hate me. They're going to lower my grade in the class. No way. And to be honest, so what? Because your grade might be slightly significant right here, right? In that one class. But if you pray for your teacher, this could literally affect their eternity here. I want us together to focus less on this here and emphasize this, these years. So I want you to write the name of that teacher in your notes and hold yourself accountable. Pick that person, write it down, and then do it tomorrow. And if you do pray for your teacher, maybe it's a coach even at your school, I want you to tell me about it next Wednesday, okay? If it went poorly, if it went great, if nothing came about of it, I want you to tell me about it. I want to hear about it. Okay, we're going to close reading James 4:17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Go and do the right thing, HSM. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this life that you've given each of us. The breath in our lungs every day is a gift from you, God. And if any student in this room is doubting the value they have, if they question the value of their life, I pray that they would know how much you love them, Lord, and how much you desire a relationship with them, how much you want to know every part of them. I pray right now for our life group time that we can be honest about where we're at, that we can be vulnerable, that we can hold each other accountable. Would we focus more on our lives in eternity rather than our time on earth, Lord? We pray all of these things in your name, Lord. Amen.